9:31. Still dealing with the church. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. This was a move of the Lord after some judgments and after God's moving through the apostles. They were being settled and established, and God was moving. And what was He doing? It says they had peace and they were being built up. See, this is the ministry of the fivefold ministry. This is what the church was to do. Build them up in the Lord. And they were walking in the fear of the Lord. Get this? That's why they had peace. And that's why they were edified. Is because they were walking in the fear of the Lord. See, a lot of professing Christians and a lot of backsliders don't have peace. Because they're not walking with the Prince of Peace. Oh, they think they are, but they're in direct rebellion and sin against Him, and they know it. And the Holy Spirit will break fellowship very quickly. And if they persist long enough and don't listen to His warnings and His judgments, He will eventually break relationship. Yeah, you heard me right. He will break fellowship first. And if they persist and do not adhere to His warnings, He's long-suffering, to His messages, He gives them time to repent. Sometimes He judges them different ways. And then if they are often reproved, as Psalm says, and they don't repent and stiffen their neck, they get arrogant. He said, they shall be cut off and that without remedy. Yes, I believe a person can apostatize. I believe a person can be twice dead. I believe a person can backslide and go to hell who has truly known God. So you know my views on that. Okay. So they were walking in the fear of the Lord, but notice the other part. They were walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is a key here. Pick this up here because we're going to see it in one of the last verses we're going to cover. If you're walking in the fear of the Lord, there is no terror. There is no being afraid. There is only reverence and respect. See why? Because you have nothing to dread if you're walking in the Spirit. If you're walking in obedience, again, it's like the child. You know, as long as he knows he's done something wrong, he dreads facing his parents, because he knows instinctively there are consequences, you know. But if he's done what he's told to do, he don't have no problem facing his parents when they come. So he doesn't feel the rod. So see, again, there is, if we fear the Lord and respect Him and honor Him, then there is rewards for this. You know, it hides us from certain things. God deals with us differently. He reveals Himself differently. You know, you're not going to get no comforting words from the Lord when you're in direct rebellion against Him. And any minister who tells you this is giving you a false message. God is displeased at times, and He shows His displeasure, even toward His own. Even the disciples, remember, at times were afraid to ask Jesus questions because they were afraid He would rebuke them. And if you study Jesus, even with His apostles and disciples, sometimes He called them fools. And hard-hearted. And they didn't like this. Because he'd do it in front of other people when it was necessary. So see, that's why they put other people up to ask him questions. So they wouldn't get it. You know. So see, again, if we walk right, we don't have to worry about. I've heard people say the Holy Spirit will never embarrass you. Pure baloney. You dishonor God, He'll dishonor you. Even His children. You show disrespect sometimes, God will pull that rug right out from under you. And see, a lot of people need to understand that there are consequences to how we treat God. And the deeper we go with the Lord, sometimes there are deeper consequences to how He responds to us. We're not to be flippant with God. We're not to be light with God. No scripture ever teaches this. False shepherds teach this. Okay. Romans 11:20. So we see the church is told to do what? Walk in the fear of the Lord. It's right from the beginning, God wanted them to fear Him and show respect. Just because Jesus came didn't all mean that Jehovah died. No, and He didn't change anything. He gave man, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the ability to obey Him and follow Him. He didn't change His rules. He didn't change sin or His attitude towards sin. Okay? 11, verse 20. This is when God, we'll get into this when we get into Romans more, when he's talking to the Gentiles who had come into the Lord because the Jews had forfeited their right. And God said they were cut off, the Jewish nation. And the Gentiles, or nations, were grafted in. And notice what he says to them, though. Verse 20. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. The word unbelief is similar to disobedient. They were broken off. And you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. Isn't it interesting what he says here? Don't take a haughty attitude. That's why they were cut off. You know, they kicked against their master. They didn't listen to him of all the privileges they were given. And then they crucified the Lord of glory. And he cut their nation off as a whole. And he opened up to the Gentiles, you know, and the other nations, and favored them. And now the church is neither Jew nor Gentile. It's a combination. But notice what he said. He says, what? Just because you're a Christian, just because you're in faith and following him, you ought to fear. Notice again the fear, then there's an element of terror here. Be afraid of what? And notice what he says. This is what you have to fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, those who are called and privileged, he may not spare you either. Therefore, consider the goodness and the severity of God. On those who fell, severity, but toward you, goodness. If you continue in his goodness. And a lot of your greasy graces like to stop there. I like to go a little further. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. So what are they to fear? Don't be haughty toward God. And don't think that you can do the same thing they did and not get the same consequences. Don't think that you can be privileged and graced and sin against me like they did and not suffer the same consequences they suffered. And he goes on a little further and says, and if they turn to me, I can graft them back in just as easily as I can cut you back off. So he's saying what? Don't be proud and arrogant. You weren't special. No more than the Jew was special when I called them. You know, and graced them. He said, I didn't choose them because they were mighty and powerful. Actually, they were nothing. And he's telling the Gentile church the same thing. So don't think you're special. You know, you do the same thing they did, you'll get the same results. See, he's telling them something. So he says what? Fear. What are they to fear? Not to sin against him. Not to do evil against him. See, that's what they'd be afraid of. And what did he go back into Exodus? He said, I want you to fear me that you will not sin against me. He's saying the same thing here. That's the kind of fear I want you to have. He said, if you're proud and haunted, then you've already entered into sin. And I will already start to resist that spirit. See, he has to resist it. So that's what he's saying to the Gentile, the nations, the church. Philippians chapter 2. We know this one. You should know it. 2:12. Second part of the verse. But now, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Okay, this is individual. He's dealt with the nations, told them to fear him. He dealt with the Old Testament church. He says, you fear me and don't sin against me. He dealt with the Gentile church. He said, fear me and don't sin against me. He dealt with the early ones when Ananias and Sapphira said, don't you sin against me or despise the Holy Spirit. And now he's dealing with us as an individual. What does he say? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. See, again, there's a greasy, easy, slimy gospel out there. And it's not telling people the truth. And when people are saved, and the Holy Spirit deals with this conviction of sin. Oh, nowadays, you know, it's presented as if Jesus is up there begging and you're doing him a favor to come. Scripture does never say that. It warns people of God's displeasure, his anger, and his hatred of sin. And that he loves the world to the degree that he has no initial malice toward them. He hates their sin and he will send them to hell. But it's his love that offers them what his son has done. But they're not in covenant love yet. They have to respond to that. They're still his enemies. While we were yet enemies, he moved toward us. So see, that is grace. He does initiate it. But even while he's initiating it, we're still enemies. And see, he's coming to say what? You want to make a peace treaty? I'll tell you how. And if you don't, you're in trouble. You know what Paul said? They judge themselves unworthy of the kingdom. And then greater judgment will come on them for not coming to God's terms. So we need to present the true gospel. We need to understand the law needs to smite people before grace can do its work. See, a lot of people don't understand. See, they're told to come to Jesus as if they're already right with Him. You know? And they're not. They're not. They're at enmity with God. Look at what he says there. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Why fear and trembling? What does it mean to tremble? One of the scriptures says God respects those who tremble at His word. It says that in Isaiah, that trembles at His word. It means take seriously what He's saying. Don't take it lightly. See, that's when conviction falls on a person, and I've seen it fall on people. They're not light with God. They don't say, yeah, we're all sinners. No, they say, I'm a sinner. You know, they don't clue to us. See, conviction goes right to the heart. It don't deal with anybody else. It deals with you. It says, you're the man. You know, it's like Nathan says, you're the man. And it strikes them. And they don't start looking for loopholes. They acknowledge, you're right, I am the man. You know, I have sinned. Anytime people are always saying us and we, it's because they're proud. And they don't want to confess their sins and deal with them. So they want to put us in the boat with them. Well, we might be in the boat. But they might be in the portion that's going down quicker. Because their pride and sin may be a lot greater than ours. See, there are degrees. Not many people, you know, you deal with. And I've dealt with some people recently. And as soon as you start talking to them, they'll look for one little sin, one little flaw in you to excuse what they're doing. But see, they've already revealed their heart. And God isn't using them. And He ain't going to mess with them. See, they're still looking for loopholes. You know? They want to say, well, everybody else. I said, well, forget everybody else. Everybody else is going to hell. So stop comparing yourself with everybody else. You better stop comparing yourself with Jesus and what His Word says, because that's what's going to judge you. All your friends and all your enemies are going to be in hell. So their opinion ain't going to count for nothing. It's what God says. So when the Holy Spirit comes and smites us with the Word, He said, is not my Word a fire and a hammer? Then you better not resist it. What does the fire do? It burns. It reveals. What does the hammer do? Pow, it takes, it goes after stubbornness and the willfulness. And the person resists that. Didn't Jesus say, he who falls on me shall be broken. But whomsoever I, the stone, fall on, I will grind to pieces. If we don't fall under conviction, we will fall under judgment one day. You know, we will fall under wrath if we don't respond to His conviction. Okay? So He says, work out with fear and trembling. What is He saying? You're not to take your salvation lightly. Why? Because it's a life. Your salvation is tied up in Jesus. It ain't tied up in no one-time experience. Yeah, it's good you have an experience. It's good you were redeemed, born again, adopted, whatever word you want to use. You began the race. But let me tell you, you better finish the race. Or all that won't count. You know, you better grow or you'll die. If you don't drink the milk, you're going to die spiritually. No guarantees. And remember again, we got to go on in the things of God. We don't determine how far we're going to go with God. God determines that. Once you start determining that, you're already on your way there. For it is God who works in you. So see again, we have a part to submit to the working of God. To submit to His conviction. When He tells us, you're not respecting me, you're not fearing me properly, we better fall into line. And He says, why? Because God works in you to both will and to do of His good pleasure. So He's not telling us we have to do it by ourselves. But obviously we have something to do with it. Or He wouldn't have told us to have some fear and trembling. You know, isn't this interesting? Why don't the greasy graces point to this scripture? If they want such security, this applies to everybody. Isn't it interesting? And He means it. He means what He says. 2 Corinthians. One of my favorite scriptures, if there can be one. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. After He's told us in verse chapter 6 about if we come out from among the world, and we stop acting like the world, and we become covenant children and enter the church, the true church, He says, then I will be a father to you. But it was only after we come out, and after we're willing to turn our back and repent and commit ourselves to the Lord. You know, we need to look at the terms of it. And notice what He says. Therefore, having these promises, what promises? If you come out, I'll be a father to you. If you won't, I won't. You'll still be my enemy. We better go back to the terms. Having these promises, beloved, He's talking to the saints. Let us cleanse ourselves. Let us judge ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, completing holiness in the fear of God. Accomplishing holiness. It means to perfect it. They use that word, but it means to complete it. In what? The fear of God. Now, why did he put that in there? Because he wants there to be a little dread of you not moving in holiness. Why? For without holiness, no man shall see God. And we're not talking about imparted righteousness. We're talking about the life here. Imparted righteousness has to be lived as practical holiness. See, a lot of people are claiming something they don't have. They're claiming a position they don't really have. They just got mind religion. Yeah, they're seated at the right hand of Jesus, and they're liars and they're thieves and they're whoremongers. No, they're not seated with Jesus. They think they are. Their father is the devil. Okay? Now, I think you heard me the first time very clearly. I don't have to repeat that one. Hebrews 12. Therefore, for this reason, since we are receiving a kingdom, have we got it yet? Is it complete yet? No. But as long as we're in Jesus, we are in the kingdom. As long as we're with Jesus, we have eternal life in the present. But it's not final till we cross over. See, that's why it's by faith and by walk. So we're in Jesus. And we've got a kingdom. We've been placed in a different kingdom. In his kingdom. Which cannot be shaken. Let us what? Have grace. I like grace. Let us have grace. We have something to do with receiving the grace. By which this grace is going to give us the ability to do something. Remember, grace means enabling. Most of the time it's used, it's not used in the context of unmerited favor. Oh, it can be used there, but in the context that often the scripture uses in the New Testament, it basically means a strengthening or an enabling to obey God. It ain't some positional thing. It's a practical thing. It works. It's faith that works by love. We need to get back to that. And it says what? By grace, we will serve God. We can only serve God by grace. And he says, and by grace, it's acceptable to God. See, we can only worship him in spirit and truth as the Holy Spirit helps us. It cannot be done by man's initiative alone. It must be yielded to. It must be worked in us and worked out of us, but we must consent to it. See, we can abide or not abide. We can remain or not remain. He never touches the human will. He influences us. He guides us. He never overrides it. We would not be free. So he says what? The grace. If we have this grace, we will serve God acceptably. How? With reverence and godly fear. Notice what he says. If you're in this kingdom, you better have grace. Well, you never got in unless you got grace, did you? Yeah, no man comes to God unless God moves, but man must respond. I'm a biggie on that. I'm a biggie on both. There's always the divine and the human side to everything that God does with people. And is never separated in Scripture. Never. So he's saying we should receive grace for what? That we can serve God. Why? We cannot serve God without grace. We cannot serve God properly without the Holy Spirit guiding us and helping us and living in us and changing us and forming Christ in us. And the fruit of the Spirit cannot be done. But it still must be done by consent. It's not automatic. See, a lot of people think it's just automatic. No, it's not. It's done by consent. And that's why most of the epistles tell you to do a lot of things. Put on, put off. Don't do this, don't do that. Notice why? Because you have a control of what the Spirit can do and what he will not do. The same as you have a control of what demons can do with you and what they can't do. And we need to get back. God does not override us, nor our will. And notice why? With reverence and godly fear, for our God is what? A consuming fire. He wants the dread here. You know? And if you go back and study the scripture, he used this when he told Israel, I am a jealous God and I will consume you if you go after idols. Okay, we have one more scripture. 16 to 18. Every one of you know this. And every one of you probably had this scripture given to you even under wrong use. This is where this scripture comes in often. A lot of people using this scripture when it don't apply to them. A lot of people use this scripture when they're not walking in it, and it don't work. Verse 16. And we know and believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Now we know what it means to abide in love. Jesus told us, if you keep my words, you will abide in my love. Notice the condition. Not some sentimentality. Not some affection without no fruit. No, he said what? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. He didn't say you might or it's optional. He says you will keep my word. And he told us if we didn't, the consequences of what the Father would do. So he's already, who's he talking to here? Find out if you're there. He says, for God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God is in him. How? By the Holy Spirit. He comes to dwell in those who submit to the Lordship of Jesus. He comes to form Christ in us, the fruit of who Christ is. Love has been perfected or completed among us. Notice the tense. Has been perfected among us in this. In what? That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Boldness. Assurance. It means there'll be no dread. See, we won't have to fear judgment or punishment if what? If love is perfected. How is love perfected? We abide in Jesus. We submit to his lordship. We keep his commandments by the power and the help of the Holy Spirit. Is that simple? I think it's very simple. And because as he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love. Now he's talking about the dread, the being frightened or terrorized. Because he's not talking about reverence now. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out dread or fear. Because fear involves punishment. Some say judgment or terror. See, it means what? If you're not right with God and you're not abiding in the love of God or the Spirit, there is a natural tendency to what? Be afraid of God, and you should be afraid of God. And that's what he told them. If you're in sin and in disobedience, you better be afraid of God because the consequences are very drastic. And see, this is what the Lord talked about through the apostles. And John himself said, if you're pure, if he's pure, you're pure. If he's righteous, you stay righteous. And he says, and when he comes, you will not be ashamed at his coming. See, the Lord implied that many would be ashamed. They would not be able to face him, and they will not go with him. See, because their heart condemns them. Their heart judges them and says, you're not right with God. You're not pleasing to God. Got it? You're not fearing God properly. But notice when he says we, he's talking about those who are walking in love. And he's saying what? We don't have no terror. We don't have no fear. Why? It's the same thing. If you're walking in the fear of the Lord, you have comfort of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit bears witness. See, we have a lot of people that I see ministers running around trying to convince them they're saved. I never try to convince anybody they're saved. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. I can give them words. They can believe it. It's the Holy Spirit that bears witness, not intellect, basically. And it's the same Holy Spirit that bears witness if you're right with God in your relationship or not. People can tell you what you want to hear. A lot of ministers do that, don't they? But God ain't changed his views. So he said, if you walk in the Spirit, what? You will walk in truth. And the Holy Spirit will come alongside and say, hey, something's wrong. Let's deal with it. You know. And if you keep resisting him, then you fall into this category. You're afraid to meet him. Like I tell people, don't be worried about a rapture. I believe there's going to be a rapture. A friend of mine doesn't believe there's a rapture. But we come to agreement. I believe there's going to be so few that it's just as soon not be a rapture. And that most of the Christians that talk about going aren't going. Because they haven't met the qualifications that John and Paul talked about. Keeping themselves pure, without spot or wrinkle. Following the Lamb, whithersoever he goes. They're not ready when he comes. So I tell people, hey, if you're not ready to die tonight, you're not ready for the rapture. And it's more likely you're going to die before you're raptured. Unless it happens in our lifetime. But we know everybody's going to die. So it don't matter, does it? If you're not ready to die tonight, you're not ready to be raptured. It's that simple. Okay, I've given you wisdom. Okay. But he who fears has not been made complete in love. Something's lacking. Something's wrong. Okay? This can be the term carnal. Oh, don't they love that one? Well, they're just carnal Christians. I said, yeah. They may stay Christians a while, but Paul said it leads to death And he meant eternal death. You know, remember, I keep telling you, God has no retarded children. You know, people who are in a backslidden state, if they die in their sin, they go to hell. Because they have not submitted to the chastisement of the Lord. They have been judged and not responded properly. We better get back. There are no worldly people, no worldly Christians. There are no backsliders. There are no carnal in heaven or lukewarm. They're all don't make it. So if you die in that state, woe is you, woe is me. I find no scripture, and no scriptures, if you rightly divide them, that ever gives assurance to any of those four groups that they'll ever make it if they die in that state. I'm not saying they may not get right and when they come to God and God will be patient with them. I'm saying if they die in that state, I'll tell you where they went. They went to the same place that Ananias and Sapphira went. And a person who's died or gets sick because he's judged by the Lord, he will repent and get right before he leaves or he will go to hell. Read Hebrews. If God turns someone over, it's that they'll get right. And it says the chastening of the Lord is what? Grievous. And it produces what? Holiness. For without holiness, no man will see God. I would like to say, well, they died carnal, but they went to hell. No, they didn't. If they didn't repent and get right with God, they went to hell. Hebrews will tell you that. See, they don't like the rightly divide. Rebellious, stubborn people against the Lord don't go anywhere up. Okay? So again, notice what it says, though. If we abide in Him, then what do we have? We have the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Where is the security? Moses was very secure with God. Why? He was very meek. Now, he showed great respect for God and awe. But he wasn't afraid of God to the degree that the children of Israel were. See, they were afraid because they were still in their sins. And he was still judging them every now and then. But he walked in and out, didn't he? But see, we also have the same illustrations and symbols used. Though he could approach God in a way others couldn't because of his call and because of his submission. Others tried and were presumptuous and God judged them. Even Aaron's sons, remember, were priests and anointed with the blood and the oil. And the scripture says they offered strange fire. If we read the whole context, it was most likely because they had been drinking too much. Because right after this, God says, those who minister before me shall not drink any strong drink. That's my interpretation. And they offered strange fire. They offered ordinary fire. And when they come before the Lord, God struck them with fire from heaven and killed them. And he told Moses, I will be honored and feared among those who approach me. So they didn't fear God properly. And they knew better. And look what he did. He was not pleased. And yet Moses could walk in and out, couldn't he? See? Because see, when he came in, he was right with God. And I bet you he wasn't. He made sure he was right before he walked in there. See? And we need to understand that. So if we walk in the fear of the Lord, then we get the confirmation or the witness of the Spirit. Don't be running around asking people if you're a Christian. Don't be running around asking people if you're okay. You better find out if you're okay. Because they might be wrong. I might be wrong once in a while. I've been wrong once. I may believe you're a Christian. But it's the Spirit that must bear witness. You know, see, a lot of people are talked into mind religion. And they're told they're okay. When the Holy Spirit's done no work. They're told they're Christians where they've not met the conditions of Christianity. Multitude of them. Multitude of our churches are filled with these people. Let's close. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask you to teach us the fear of the Lord, that we shall depart from evil, that we will show you proper respect and honor, that you are our Heavenly Father, the Lord of glory, but you're still the Creator. You're still God Almighty. And we dare not take you too lightly. We dare not show disrespect. We dare not get too familiar with you, Lord, from the earthly perspective, Lord. And Lord, that's why we see you are called holy, because you're not ordinary. You're not common. And we dare not treat you as if you're ordinary or common. Give us the spirit of the fear of the Lord as Jesus had, that we will delight in the fear of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.